There's a coalition outside the Beltway looking to overhaul Michigan school funding inequality, something we talk about fairly often, actually. You know, how do you fund schools? How do you make it equal that a student in a inner-city school gets the same as a kid in a better-off suburban school? How do you make sure that they're getting the equal opportunities of education, mathematics, and science, and reading, and so forth? Chad Leibegood, Senior Editor of Politics and Policy, Cranes, Detroit. Chad, how are you?
Good morning, Steve.
So tell me about this Outside the Beltway Coalition and what it will mean and what's going on.
Yeah, so there's been a big body of research that shows that children from low-income households, children with special needs, and children who come from households where English is not the primary language, they just require, they're more costlier to educate, to give the same level of education, particularly special ed. I mean, it can be 2 to 3 times the cost, especially if it's a child who is on the autism spectrum or has some really severe needs. But they're, you know, the special ed kind of runs the gamut from ADHD and additional tutoring for reading to you know, highly developmentally disabled. So so there is pretty much a consensus now among policymakers that, yes, we've got to put more money into schools and children who need more care and education. And just, hey, it's just more costly on a war.
We lost Chad for just a moment. We'll see if we can connect him back up here.
Before.
We lost you for just a minute there, Chad. But go ahead and pick up that thought.
Yeah, no, the Education Trust Midwest, an advocacy group based in Royal Oak, has put together kind of a new coalition of a lot of parent groups and a couple of big names in business, DTE Energy, and 42 North Partners, which is the private equity firm in Grand Rapids, of Mike Jandranoa, the former CEO of Perigo, a long big-time Republican mega donor. And they are really trying to beat the drum that Michigan needs to change the formula for how it funds schools, so the money that goes to schools, to make it more equitable for schools that have higher percentage of children living in poverty. And that can be anywhere from Litchfield in Hillsdale County to Benton Harbor in Berrien County.
So what would you, I mean, what do they say to the critics? Because the critics will say quite clearly that, you know, we've adjusted funding, we've changed, they fiddle with funding here and there over the years many, many different times, right? And we were going to get more money from the lottery, and that was going to solve the problem, and this was going to solve the problem. And yet it never happens, and people get to the point of, like, how much money do you want to throw at it? Why is it always more money? Why are the outcomes always worse? We just saw the MSTEP testing for last year that was absolutely abysmal because of kids being forced to stay home by that same government that now wants, sounds like to me, probably more money to spend on schools that doesn't seem to improve the situation.
Well, and what reporters like myself and others, Ron French at Bridge Magazine, have pointed out over and over the years, there is no shortage of studies about Michigan's education system and the funding for it. What there is a shortage of is actionable ideas on how to put more money into education. And this all goes back to Proposal A of 1994 that greatly reformed our property tax system to sort of stop an out-of-control property tax system that was consuming homeowners. But in doing so, we've essentially capped and effectively handcuffed our education funding mechanisms to be limited to pretty much to the property tax at 6 mils everyone pays on their houses for schools and the sales tax. The lottery, I have to always remind people, the lottery makes up about, it contributes about $1.1 billion now, Steve, but it's less than 7%. It funds public schools for 14 days. a year, essentially. It's not the panacea. It never has been, never will be. Neither will marijuana. It's not going to fix pot. It's not going to fix potholes. What it comes down to is we have two revenue sources that have not grown beyond inflation or kept up with costs. And at the same time, we've got an education system that is almost doubled in size because of the proliferation of charter schools. We have more principals and superintendents than ever before than we did in the early 90s when we reformed education. And now we've got a fractured system where there's fewer kids, by the way, also, and there's just fewer taxpayers in general because we're not growing as a state. And so there's a whole host of issues that sort of culminate around this. We're not going to solve them all in a 7-minute radio interview, though.
No, that part's true. But you're right. We're not going to solve it that quickly. But it just seems we never solve it. That's, I guess, my point. There's lots of conversations and lots of these things that go. I mean, my entire lifetime, we've had the same conversation. It's like a circular conversation, or maybe a circular firing squad. We never get there, Chad. We talk about it, and people put forth ideas and this and that, and you know, I just don't see how we get there. And outside the Beltway, I'm going to gauge their chance of success is very small. I mean, I don't mean to be pessimistic, but come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Richard Headley, the famed tax reformer of the late 20th century, who gave us the Headley Amendment to help, you know, rein in the property taxes in the state, he was an outside the Beltway guy himself. So these outside the Beltway movements have had some success. It's how we got the redistricting commission we have now, and a whole host of other citizen initiative petitions, and so. I wouldn't discount it. It's going to take some serious focus long term, and that's a problem in Lansing these days. With term limits, people are turning over so fast, it's hard to get a group of legislators who are going to bound together and say, hey, we're going to get this fixed, just like legislators did with Proposal A. Proposal A was the culmination of multiple statewide ballot initiatives failing. As was auto insurance. There were several attempts in the 70s, 80s, and or 80s and 90s to reform auto insurance. It wasn't until 2019 that something got done finally. So,
some might argue that the overhaul of car insurance was an abject failure in its result. Some might. I'd be one of those people.
Oh,
but so it is.
I'm certainly a major critic of it. So,
there you go.
I mean, but. Again, focus by public policymakers is getting less and less and harder to achieve. And something like education reform that touches 1.5 million children and basically every property owner in Michigan, it's not going to be easy. And so that's
fair
the
enough.
Bottom line, is that
yeah,
there needs some focus on this by Chad,
I appreciate it. I got to leave it there, though. Chad Livergood, senior editor of politics and policy at Crain's Detroit. Always a good conversation. Chad, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Education reform? We'll see.
When today is unpredictable, you need sound advice and strong support to help you stay focused on your long-term financial goals for tomorrow. Ameriprise has been guiding clients through challenging times for over 125 years. You can take comfort in working with an advisor who's backed by that strong experience and who's there to guide you with personalized, goal-based financial advice. Together, you and your Ameriprise advisor can plan your future while navigating your now. Call me, Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles, today at 517-483-4893. That's 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC.
You see it in the headlines every day. The price of everything is going up, and nothing's going up faster than the cost of energy. What if your heating and cooling bill doubled or tripled? What would that mean to you and your family? For most people, it would be devastating. It's time you learned about WellConnect.
With WellConnect, you might be able to cut your utility costs by hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars a year. And if you already have a well in the yard, you already have the key piece of equipment for a 100% renewable energy source. That's right, your well can be the heart of a WellConnect hybrid geothermal system. WellConnect is a Michigan-made solution to cutting your utility bills. In the last year alone, WellConnect reduced propane consumption by 1 million gallons, saving Michigan homeowners over $1 million. Why gamble on the price of energy? Get connected to WellConnect. Right now, you can still qualify for a 26% federal tax credit and utility rebates, but they won't be here forever. Find out more right now. Visit WellConnectSaves.com, WellConnectSaves.com, or call 989-356-2113. WellConnect.